Chapter 31. After several days of silence, the customary noises of the crematorium began again. The motors of the big ventilators purred once again, reawakening the furnace flames. The arrival of the Theresienstadt ghetto had been announced. Since the founding of the Czechoslovakian Republic, Theresienstadt had been primarily a garrison town. The Germans, however, changed the appearance of the city completely, to the point of moving the civilian population away and setting up a model ghetto there. This ghetto housed Jews deported from Austria, Holland, and Czechoslovakia itself, about 60,000 in all. The living conditions of the inhabitants were relatively good. They could exercise their professions freely, receive and send mail, and they were aided by the Red Cross. In fact, teams from the International Red Cross paid periodic visits to the little city, and on each occasion made favorable reports concerning the living conditions and treatment of prisoners. Thus the Germans got what they wanted from the creation of this model ghetto. For these reports by the International Red Cross had the effect of neutralizing, or better yet, of qualifying as evil slander, the rumors going round concerning the horrors of the KZ and the crematoriums. But now, on the eve of its collapse, the Third Reich ceased to worry any longer about world opinion and rejected even the mask of its shady humanism. It began to liquidate without delay the Jews still in its custody. So it was that the turn of the model ghetto at Theresienstadt arrived. When they reached Auschwitz, the still healthy men of this ghetto had the following convocation in their possession. Governmental SS Committee of the Reich for the Recruiting and Employment of Slave Laborers. Notice, the Jew XY of the Reich Protectorate is hereby advised that by order of the above-mentioned authority, he has been designated for the service of obligatory labor. The draftee shall, before his departure, deposit his instruments, the tools necessary for the exercise of his profession, a supply of winter clothing, and food enough for 1 week with the authority's representative. The date of departure will be announced by public notice. Theresienstadt, the date, signature. The whole story of obligatory labor was, of course, an infamous lie. Merely a pretext to carry out the liquidation without interruption and to recoup some sorely needed instruments, scarce tools, and winter clothing needed by the German populace. 20,000 men, fully capable of working, and in the full flush of their youth, died in the gas chambers and were incinerated in the crematory ovens. It took 48 hours to exterminate them all. For several days afterwards, silence again reigned in the crematorium. 2 weeks later, still more deportee trains began arriving in endless succession at the Jewish ramp. Women and children scrambled out of the boxcars. There was no selection. All were directed to the left. On the floor of the undressing room lay hundreds of tracts, which read, Governmental SS Committee of the Reich for the Recruiting and Employment of Slave Laborers. Notice, the above-mentioned authority hereby authorizes the wife and children of Jew XY of the Reich Protectorate called for obligatory labor to join the above-mentioned Jew and to live together with him for the duration of his employment. Suitable lodgings are anticipated. Winter clothing, bedding, and provisions for a week will be furnished by the travelers. Theresienstadt, the date, signature. as a result of this diabolically conceived notice. 20,000 women and children who wanted only to ease their husband's lot, to join their fathers, followed them into the gas chambers and crematory ovens. My interjection. By order of the authority, all residents of the greater metropolitan area will confine themselves to their residences until further notice. By order of the authority, all residents of the greater metropolitan area without employment or receiving public assistance will report to the designated processing center to receive specific instructions for the performance of obligatory service. By order of the authority, all residents of the town of Byron will inventory their personal property and prepare to submit to obligatory relocation. By order of the authority, the Sacramento San Joaquin River Delta region will submit to environmentally devastating 40-mile-long, 150-foot-deep fissures that will destroy tens of thousands of acres of Delta farmland. By order of the authority, San Joaquin Valley farmers will be asked to betray their fellow citizens by profiting from the commodification of taxpayer-subsidized water. By order of the authority, the people of the state of California will submit to further division between better off and struggling citizens by accepting dramatic manufactured increases in the cost of water. By order of the authority, the people of the state of California will submit to further division between better off and struggling citizens when a new budget crisis is manufactured with the predictable default of the water agencies on their bond debt. And you can read more about this in the article, The Water Tunnel Boondoggle. Experts say the eye-popping costs of Governor Brown's plan to build two giant water tunnels far outweigh the financial benefits, and taxpayers may be left holding the bag. That's in the East Bay Express of May 14 to 20, 2014. What did Alice Miller tell us? That if an adult has not developed a mind of his own, then he will find himself at the mercy of the authorities for better or worse, just as an infant finds itself at the mercy of its parents. When we renounce our body's truth, when we have no autonomy, when we've not developed our own thoughts, we are at the mercy of the authorities, and inevitably betray our brothers and sisters. The question only being a matter of degree, once the point of betrayal is conceded. And thank you for listening. And people of the Ukraine, stay strong, my brothers and sisters, and struggling all of us, let's stay strong. Till next week. Peace.